A family move to Colorado brought Jor-El to the executive director role at Life Choices in Longmont. In 2006, Jor-El accepted the call to Heartbeat International as vice president, now serving as the second president in Heartbeat International's nearly 50-year history. He continues to remind us all that we are better together. Jor-El met his wife Karen at a volunteer training meeting for the Hope Pregnancy Centers in Fort Lauderdale. They have three adult children and make their home in Columbus, Ohio. Please welcome to the stage, Jor-El Godsey.
Thanks, Mr. Appreciate that. Okay. How y'all doing? I have one quick question. Who was here for the very first time? You raised your hand earlier. Could you do that again? Awesome. I'm wondering, is it because this is called Margaritaville? will there be communion sometime over here? I'm really curious. I mean, they strap your room key to your wrist and everything. I'm not quite sure what that means. But it's fun. So, thank you for that introduction, by the way. I appreciate that. Some of you don't know. I got to do two things. I have to get out of the way. Some of you have never met me. You've never been to a Heartbeat International Conference. I encourage you to come. Ours is in Jacksonville. It'll be a little warmer next year when you come, so feel free towards the end of March. But if you've never met me before and you're wondering, where did he get that name? I mean, the person at the check-in counter was like, can I ask you a question? And I know what's coming. It's but your dad, no, it's not grandma and grandpa's name shut together, although my roots are from the South. And it's not from some other country, it's actually from another planet.
Yes!
It's from Krypton. Yes. Yes, so I... There you go. I am named after Superman's father. That's where it came from. Yes. In fact, we've had fun with it. So, all three of my kids have Superman names. My oldest is Jared, but his middle name is Kal-El, which is Superman's name on Krypton. My daughter, her name is Kara or Kara, which is Supergirl. And then my youngest is Joel, like the prophet, but his middle name is Kent. Yeah. So we've had a lot of fun. In fact, when we first moved to Columbus, Ohio, Joel was like five. And we had two new neighbor boys, and he was explaining to them what I just explained to you. There's five of us in the family, four of us have super names, and then he said this, and he had kind of a unique way of talking. So then he said this to the neighbor boy. He said, well, Emma's my mom. She's not super anything. Fortunately, he recovered fast. Because he said, well, she's a super mom. Which is good, because mom was listening to this conversation. And that's why he lives today and just turned 21 last month. So, so that was one thing I needed to get out of the way, because some of you are wondering, and you're wondering where that came from. Yes, there's a hyphen in the middle of it. Yes, there's too many capitals. I had nothing to say about it at the time. But it's just part of the adventure that I get to live. So, the other thing is, I stand before you as someone who has been on the other side of this issue. When I was younger, in school, I got my girlfriend pregnant, and the only thing I knew to do was to help her get an abortion. And so I know that moment I failed her, I failed that child, I failed to do what God has laid on the heart of every man, which is to provide and protect. And so I don't stand here with any sense other than that is a difficult thing. And for I want to make sure I don't ever miss an opportunity to acknowledge my part in this. And I'm grateful that God has allowed me the opportunity to step into the other side of this world. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. Because Marcia gave me a couple of instructions. She said, okay, I want you to do something tomorrow, and I'll do that. It's going to be, might be a little tougher, a little harder. And she said, but try to make tonight a little light. I'm like, really? This is, we're talking about abortion. This is, how, that's not easy. So, but what happened was, God got a hold of my heart. After that episode, just a couple years later, God got a hold of my heart, and I stepped into a church, a little church, and God began to work on me. And the pastor came from another state, came into our little church, and he preached this message, and he had an agenda. I did not know his agenda. But when he was speaking, he said these words I have never forgotten. He said, abortion is not a social issue. Now, I don't know about you, if you ever talk back to your pastor, perhaps you do not ever do that. Maybe not even in your mind. But me, I was doing it in my mind, like, what, are you crazy? Of course it is. It's a social issue. And then he said, abortion is not a political issue. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding? And then he said this. He said, abortion is a gospel issue. And when he said that, I was sitting in that chair. I can feel that every time I tell the story. I was penetrated to the heart, to the core. And I was challenged. I had walked into that church pro-choice by default and by action. But I left that church. In fact, we left that little church. That pastor had come with an agenda because he had brought signs. We left that church and we went to picket an abortion doctor. On a Sunday. Now, they were closed, but it's the thought that counts, right? And so, I was in. I mean, I was transformed on that Sunday. In fact, the next thing I found myself doing was getting involved in something called Operation Rescue. Anybody heard of that? Yeah, that's where you get arrested. Because you're protesting and peacefully sitting in front of an abortion clinic so that it won't open. Yeah. That happened, got sent to jail, happened again, got put in jail for a weekend. And it actually, while I was in jail, in the weekend, that's a whole story by itself, I'll tell you. But while I was in jail, there was this pastor talking to us, to our little church group, and going, hey, there's this thing opening up in an area called a crisis pregnancy center. You might want to go check it out. I'm like, what is that? Well, I got to be the person that got sent from my church to go check that out. And, I walked in. And I'm like, what is this all about? And the lovely center director, greets me and she says, well, let me tell you. Now, let me set the scene for you for a minute. It's 800 square feet, right? Like, not very big. And it had all the walls up, but only the studs. Right? Most of you have gone through some of this. You've seen what that looks like, right? And she says, let me show you what the center's gonna look like. I'm like, I can see it. Like, from here, I can see all the way to the back door. And she says, no. And she shows me the reception room. This is where the ladies are waiting. I'm like, okay. And then this is where the counseling room will be. And this will be our baby boutique. I had no idea what that meant at all. And she walked me through every little bit of it. And she said, well, we're having a problem. She said, we got the walls, the frames up, but she said, we had an electrical engineer create plans, but we do not have any electricians. We haven't been able to have someone come in and run the wiring. And I'm like, well, so that little church I went to was a very blue-collar church. And I went back, and I got those guys, a couple of guys, and in 2 weeks, they, in their evening hours, they volunteered their time and came and ran the wiring so that the progress could move forward. Right? Yay. Then they got the inspection, drop all this up, they're ready to open the doors. And then I got the next phone call. It's like, hey, would you like to be on our board? It's like, apparently, I met the two qualifications of board membership. One of which was I could bring resources to the center, and the second was that I was breathing. And that, when I said yes to that was 1991. And yes, by the way, I did meet my wife in the training, in the pregnancy center training, because that was a requirement of our board members. I drug my heels. I did not like why do I have to do this? I'm a guy, I'll never find my nope, The last minute I did it, I sat behind this lovely young lady. We actually got paired off in one of those communication exercises, and then a year later we went on our first date, and a year after that we were married, and that was we just celebrated 27 years last month. But one of the things that I didn't realize in 1991, I stepped into the middle of a story. Of a story that God has been telling, and some of it got told tonight. Marsha was talking about like the last 15 years, the last 20 years. But I want to take you back, because like that, in 1991, I stepped into the middle of it. Now, just a fair warning, Peggy Hartshorne, who was the previous president of Heartbeat and current board chair, she got involved in 1973, and she's been a great source of information. And she's been telling me, and I've been learning the story from her and from others, that God has been doing under almost no one knows the story about pregnancy help. Almost no one knows it. Meanwhile, there's this other story that's happening, right? The story of abortion in our land. And most people don't know that story particularly well either. So I've taken to tell that story, and I'd like to give you a little history lesson tonight. Can I do that? Yes, because I have the microphone, and you apparently have until 10 o'clock, so we're all good. So what happens, when I get the chance to tell this now, in all fairness, Peggy invited me to co-author a book called The Power of Pregnancy Help, which just came out literally off the presses this past week. And so you may be seeing that. By the way, the book you referenced, Unexhausted Leader, Lisa Hosler, that's her gift. She sent that, we helped her, but she sent that to all the centers at Heartbeat, CareNet, and others that we know of. So hopefully more of you are familiar with that great book. But the book we just wrote called Power of Pregnancy Help, we walk through some of this. And much of what you'll hear tonight, and then also tomorrow is in that book. So hope you'll enjoy this. Let's go back to the kind of beginning of pregnancy help. And for that, we have to go to the 60s. So the 60s, how many of you were around in the 60s? Yeah. I didn't ask how many of you remember the 60s. Because if you were really involved in the 60s, probably not likely, right? But the one cool thing about the 60s was that there was really great music. Yes? Okay. So, but how did we, other than the radio that you could turn on and listen to what someone else thought we should hear, how did we get to hear what we wanted to hear? Like, play the song that we wanted to play, right? We had these things. They were like big round things like this with a little hole in the middle. Remember those? Records. Exactly. And there were big ones, and then there was little ones, and then there was something called an A side, and a, yes! See, if you're like under 30, you're going to have to Google that one. Right? So we step into the middle of the 60s. What else is going on in the middle of the 60s? The sexual revolution, right? And then you begin to see the culture is in an upheaval. From the beginning of the 60s to the end of the 60s, major transformation in the U.S. and frankly globally. So that's what's going on. But in the middle of that, as the sexual revolution is gaining steam, they begin to advance the agenda of abortion. And in 1967, the very first state that legalizes abortion in the U.S. is Colorado. Shortly thereafter, California, Oregon, North Carolina. So, let's I want to take you back to this, to 1967. See if I can do this.
One more time when you do it.
Okay. All right. Now, that wasn't the... So I just grabbed some like top 40 music from the years that I want to highlight. And there's another one. Let's see.
And I saw her fit.
Music in the 60s was great. So something else happened though. 1968, the very first pregnancy center ever opens. Toronto, Canada. Ready? So we have something from 1968.
Remember.
So that was the Beatles, of course, 1968. So we move into the 60s. Now, what happens on the abortion side is you see more states begin to take on abortion, begin to legalize it. In fact, 1970, New York legalizes abortion almost on demand. I believe it was practically on demand, which was the most radical of the states to date. In fact, they tell me in Columbus, Ohio, that there were planes, that charter planes that would they would be in the morning and they would be loaded up with women that would fly from Columbus, Ohio to New York to have abortions and then come back in the evening. I was actually talking to someone in my church, and he was about 50 years old, and he was telling me that his mom was on one of those planes, except that she was 1 week beyond where that abortionist would do the procedure, and so she got back on the plane pregnant, and he's a great family, three or four kids, and so that's a reality we began to unleash on our land in the 70s. And so what happened, you had this 1968, the first pregnancy center, and then 1971, Heartbeat International gets formed. It was actually the actual birthday was, what's today, what's the number today? 14th was yesterday, the 13th. So it is 50 years for Heartbeat International as of yesterday. Yeah. So God's been telling, he's been writing this story for a while. So in 1971,
country roads, take me home to the place I belong.
It's not Missouri. Okay, so some of these are going to be earworms for you, I'm telling you. I know this. You're going to be playing in your mind. So 1971, when we move into the 70s, you know, we couldn't really ever take our records, right? Remember we had the records and you put the needle down, it was like surgery. You know, you got to get it just in the right spot and it would play the song that you wanted. But we could never like put those in our cars and drive, right? So somebody figured out how we could actually have tunes that we could select and we could take it with us. In the 1970s, it was this kind of chunky thing.
Eight track.
Yeah, I have no idea what 7-track or 9-track is, but 8-track is what we got, and we could actually pop the buttons. Remember that? I remember first seeing the 8-track in my aunt's car. She had an El Camino. Yeah, that is like the mullet of cars. Yeah. So, in the 70s, so that Heartbeat starts in 1971, then of course we get to 1973, and you all know what happens. 1973, Roe versus Wade. Okay, Roe versus Wade comes in, and what Roe does, I don't have to tell you guys all of this, but if you're not familiar, what Roe does is basically legalizes abortion across the land because the justices somehow found it to be a right in our Constitution. Now, it's never mentioned in our Constitution, but they said it's because there's a right to privacy, also not mentioned in our Constitution, therefore there's a right to an abortion. So they created that right in 1973, and that basically undid all of the laws that stood for life across the country and made abortion on demand up until you have to add the other case, which is Doe versus Bolton. Handed down on the same day. Those two things together made abortion on demand throughout the United States and was a signal to the rest of the world to do the same and follow suit. So that was in 1973 that happens, and we have a music clip for that. Boy, you guys just joined right in on that one. Wow, that was good. Tony Orlando and? Wow, I love it. So that was 1973. So what happens in the 70s? You still have centers are starting little by little. There's hotlines. There's not even any really post-abortion things happening in the 70s, not much of anything. But there are those that are trying to reach women and help them not make this decision. The challenge was that the people that were really the ones standing securely for life and really championing this cause was our Catholic brothers and sisters. It's true. In fact, I can take you to some of the writings of magazines written by evangelicals that you would know that really talk about, well, maybe abortion is okay in some circumstances. And so it was a bit of a struggle. In fact, the other side used it as a cudgel, as a wedge. Are you against abortion? And if you said, yes, I'm against abortion, oh, well, then you must be Catholic. And they began to use it as a way to divide the Christian community, and they did. But fortunately, there was a book that came at the very end of the 70s called Whatever Happened to the Human Race. It was written by Francis Schaeffer, a major evangelical theologian, and also C. Everett Koop, who was a medical doctor, he was an OB-GYN, later became the Surgeon General under President Ronald Reagan. And it was that book that they transformed it into a VHS. Yes, also chunky. Look, if you're under 30, that like most of this you're going to have to Google yourself, okay? Because can't help you. I didn't bring samples. But VHS, right? Big thing used to feed So. And what happened was there was like multiples of those, and they were shown in churches. That's what amazes me. I've run into many people. How many of you know Ann Pearson? Yeah, wonderful, like matriarch of the pregnancy health movement. She talked about, and others, I've heard others echo this. Yeah, I had no idea until I went to my church and I watched this video series. And some of them read the book. And it was in that book that was really the compelling case for standing for life that motivated the evangelicals. Francis Schaeffer actually said this: every single abortion clinic should have a sign out front that says open by permission of the local church. It was an indictment against the church for not being more involved. Well, hallelujah. This really stirred the community. There's a particular song that goes along with this one, 1979. address as one of the meals for me. No, no. Not okay. Too much, there's this thing called the internet. I'm not interested. Yeah. Okay, so the fact, what that did was that motivated, in 1979, the evangelicals got in gear. And they began to join the Catholics. So we're reunited. Then we move into the 80s. Now in the 80s, you know, we moved past the 8-track, and we had little smaller things, two holes in the middle, right? Remember what those are? Cassettes, yes. And we had this very specific device that was very important to be able to advance the cassette to the right. A pencil. That's right. We have to rewind it, write it, right? Like this, like okay, look, again, if you're under 30, you do not know the difficulty that we have. Right? I mean, how do we get that song that we wanted onto the cassette? We had to call the radio station and say, could you please play? And then we had to wait and listen until they did. With the, you know, the record button on the, you know, where it's like four fingers apart. Remember that? Life is difficult. It wasn't only about walking uphill both ways in the snow. So the 80s, when evangelicals got involved, they got involved in a very specific way. You know, there's been a March for Life at the Capitol, at the White House, or near the White House. In D.C. started shortly after Roe v. Wade. And that, if you've never been to that, I would encourage everyone in this room to go once. Because it is amazing. It is the biggest single pro-life event that you cannot find in any media anywhere except friendly media. Like, it's the biggest pro-life event that everybody seems to ignore. And it's only about 500,000 of people that will be right there. So if you haven't been, go. But when the evangelicals came in, they didn't flood to Washington. They flooded into this work. They flooded into the work of pregnancy help. And so that's really fun. So we can actually see this. I have a graph that shows, by the way, we published a white paper called PHC's Room to Grow. This graph, I think, is in that. But it's actually a graph. We graphed the years that the organizations began. And in 1985, we had exponential growth in the number of pregnancy centers that opened that year. Anybody have a center that opened in 1985? Or 84, 85, 86, 10? Others? 84, 85, 86 saw unprecedented growth in the pregnancy centers opening. And we have a song from 1985. You can't do that without slang. So in 1985, we saw that a lot of centers open. But the other thing that was going on during the 80s is that the abortion clinics were booming, right? They had begun in 67 with Kentwood, Colorado. Then they began to gain steam across the states where they were open. And of course, Roe just unleashed them as an industry. So they began to grow throughout the 80s until we get to 1990. 1990 is the peak. 1990-91 is the peak of the abortion industry as far as the numbers are concerned. In 1999 and 91, there were 1.6 million abortions per year. Yeah, the year before is 1.58, and I believe it was 90, it was 1.6, and then it was the next year it went down. And so in 1990, we had that major situation going on where you're seeing the abortion stand at its highest. And there's a song, we have come along with that. Speak, there's the little centers that could were growing and growing, right? And something else happened in the 1990s. In 1996, somewhere, we believe it was 1996, there were finally one, oh, by the way, the height of the abortion industry, there were 2,400 abortion clinics open. Places that were doing abortions around the U.S. But that began to decline. In the 90s, it began to slowly decline through the 90s. But in 96, the centers, little centers that could, kept opening in all kinds of places. And in 1996, by our estimates, that was the first time in history that there was one more pregnancy center than there was abortion clinics. Secular side, we're going to switch to the Christian side of things for 1996. Right, we got rid of the cassettes, or some of you still hold on to them till like into the 2000s. But we got rid of this, so it was a disc, but it was smaller. It was a CD, right? That was great. We could load like several of those puppies in there, and we were going high tech. It was all shiny, and this is the future. Little did we know, right? So in the 90s, we moved through that. We're growing, and the abortion clinic numbers continue to decline. And the abortion numbers continue to decline. Hallelujah. Then we turn the corner, Marshall mentioned earlier, Y2K comes, and we get Alliance for Life starting. We get, what else happened in 2001? The iPod, right? This is before Facebook. Do you realize Alliance for Life is older than Facebook? Tell your kids. Yeah. I went to a conference that started before Facebook. Yeah. They're going to be like, no way. But that's when we began to see. Option Line for us starts in 2003. How many of you are familiar with Option Line? Hopefully everybody. Yeah, Option Line. We have only received 4 million contacts at Option Line since it began in 2003. I have a song from 2003.
It's every child, every tongue, every nation. A love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory.
pregnancy help world is on the way, and it's growing, right? We had one more in the mid-1990s, one more than the abortion clinic. Abortion clinic numbers declined. By the way, they've declined about 3% every year for the last 30 years, which is good. And that's important. But we still need to realize that there's more to do, and there's more, and we have some very interesting things that are happening in our time, right? In our time. So the good news is with Alliance for Life, we know that they get engaged, and then we now know that we have. So here's the cool thing. Now we get into the 2000s and the 10s, right? And so we basically don't have the CDs anymore, not cassettes. Perhaps you still do. I mean, we held on to ours until the van that we had that had those just died. Like, it was like 230,000 miles, you know. So we held on to them as long as we could. Now we're dealing with this, you know, this stuff where it's like it streams. I don't know where it's streaming from. I really don't understand that. You know, we have things like Bluetooth and aux cables. Like, I rented a car. I was in Illinois not too long ago, and I rented a car. And I got in, and it's like, it had one of those little, like, USB-C.
Yeah.
And like, what is that? I was, like, trying to fit the one. It doesn't fit. Life is tough, I'm telling you. But now we can get music, just downloads anywhere, you know, it's kind of like our technology is catching up to God. Because he downloads stuff all the time.
Amen.
And the cool thing is that he's continued to download the power of pregnancy help in hearts and lives across this country. So not only do we have one more than they, pregnancy help centers now outnumber abortion clinics 4-1. Now, there are challenges that are happening right now, and we know this, and I am not certain that the numbers of abortions will continue to decline because the other side has been very busy. So we do pray for what's happening at the courts. We're grateful for the Heartbeat Texas bill because it's driving some conversations. Apart from what it's doing as a law, it's driving some important conversations. And we're really expecting to see what happens with the Dobbs case. Nothing has been as potential for what it can do for Roe v. Wade to pull that down or weaken it even more than this case that we see out of Mississippi. So we will be praying. Yes, we will be praying and believing that God is going to continue to do stuff. But we know that even no matter what happens to the laws of abortion in our land, there will always be those who need the help that we have, who need the heart that we operate in, and who need the hope that comes from the God of the universe. That will always be necessary because God called this movement into existence. Not the abortion industry. God himself did. Because we're the special forces of the church. Right? It's all about Jesus. We were singing about that. That's what we do. And no matter what happens in these laws, we will continue to reach and rescue as many lives as possible. And so it's with that, I thank you for allowing me to take you on a journey through pregnancy health history. Hopefully we had some fun, and none of this gets on YouTube. But thank you for the opportunity to be with you. God bless.